Reading from the letter of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 14 to 18. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. The reading is taken from chapter 2, starting to read at verse 22. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel, of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you. Please do sit. And I'm going to welcome Candace up now to preach to us. It's wonderful to now and again, particularly under these conditions, to be able to host students who are going through a tough time, missing out on all the fellowship at Wycliffe, and Ocker, and doing everything online. But it's lovely to have you with us. Over to you.
Thank you. One moment here. All right. Good morning, everyone. How are we doing? Good. I would like to welcome everyone who's here today and also to everyone who is watching. It is such an honor to be able to share with you here today, and I would like to thank Reverend Will for the opportunity to share. I've really been looking forward to being here for the last few weeks, and how wonderful is it to be in church together as well. Before we dive into the talk this morning, let's pray. Father God, we thank you that your presence is with each of us. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would help us to continue in this posture of worship, and that our hearts and our minds would be open to receive what it is that you would like to share with us today, Lord. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
As we just read together in Luke chapter 2, the story of Candlemas, of Jesus' presentation at the temple, is one where we witness a divine encounter taking place in the midst of the seemingly mundane. And the result of this encounter is technically the second, but really the first public proclamation of Jesus' messianic mission. And here we find the young parents, Mary and Joseph, with their newborn Jesus, and they are at the temple in Jerusalem, and they're fulfilling the requirements of the law of Moses. And at the same time, we're introduced to Simeon, and we're told that he is a righteous and devout man, and he possesses a very unique promise from the Lord. The Lord has told him that he would not die until he saw the Messiah with his own eyes. And so we read here in Luke chapter 2 that the Holy Spirit leads him through the temple, the busyness of it all, right to this child who is the Messiah. And as he sees who the Messiah is, he breaks out into a song of praise. And what he says in this song is so significant, and the words would have been very familiar to Mary and Joseph as well, because his song, the song of Simeon, heavily references the prophet Isaiah's vision of Israel's consolation, of the Messiah that the Lord would send. And the themes of his song you can read all throughout Isaiah chapters 40 to 66. Now, what's interesting is that in this passage, this is actually the third time that Luke, the author, refers to this pattern of promise and fulfillment that then results in praise. And in Luke chapter 1, we see that first there is the song of Mary. And this is actually the result of when Mary goes to see her cousin Elizabeth, who is also pregnant, and the Holy Spirit comes upon Elizabeth and she breaks out into prophecy, right? And then there's also the second song, which is the song of Zechariah. And so Zechariah breaks out into praise after he names John the Baptist, and the angel opens up his mouth again. And so then here we are in chapter 2, and the same pattern is repeating again. We have the song of Simeon. And it's actually this pattern of promise and fulfillment and praise that I would like to focus on this morning. And the first of which is a promise. And I want to start by acknowledging that God has given every single person here today, whether you're in here or you're watching, God has given each of us promises. We have those personal promises that are held deep within our hearts. However, we also have the thousands of scriptural promises that God has given to his people, promises that we can stand on every day, like Deuteronomy 31:8, God will go before you and be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. We also have Psalm 34:10, the lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord will lack no good thing. Those are just a few of many of the promises that we have in the Word. And in this sense, we are like Simeon, because you see, he was holding on to the scriptural promise that God would send a Messiah to redeem Israel. And yet he was holding on to the very personal promise that God would not let him pass away until he saw the Messiah with his own eyes. However, when we read this passage, we're reading it from a 21st century vantage point. So we know already that God himself came into the world as Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus Christ did in fact come in as an infant. However, in first century, Simeon, he had no idea what he was looking for, or who he was looking for, really. Based on the prophecies in the past centuries at that time, really the prophecy was is that God was going to send a Messiah who was going to redeem Israel from all of her oppressors, and then this Messiah was going to usher in a new golden age, an age that was marked by freedom and by peace. So with this in mind, the people of Israel are expecting a king, a mighty warrior, someone who was going to come in from the royal line of David. And with that in mind, can you even imagine? Here is Simeon with this picture in his mind of who the Messiah would be, being led by the Holy Spirit into this temple. And as he's scanning the crowd, looking around, he happens to look over at this helpless newborn in the arms of these young parents who are of a lower economic class, who are so far from our definition of royalty. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit tells him, this is actually the Messiah. And this brings us to the second part of this pattern, which is fulfillment. And if you've been a follower of Jesus for any amount of time, I think it's very likely that we know that God does things in his own timing, and also he does it in very unpredictable ways. When I was trying to think of a story to share to illustrate this point, a story from my life, I had this moment of realization where I was like, this actually summarizes most of my experience walking with Jesus these last 5 years. God has worked out things in my life in very unpredictable ways. And I just want to stop for a moment for us to look at this and just how we look at promises in general. You know, we look at a promise, for example, Proverbs 16:3. Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. And so we take this promise and as humans we go, okay, point A, commit. And then the word says point B is success. So we go, all right, things look pretty linear here, right? But if I'm honest with you, my experience, and I'm sure if we could pass the mic around to everyone in this room, we would all have a very similar story, that really it looks like this. It's like point A, commit, and then you kind of just go like this a bit. And then God takes you here, and you go here, and you go here. And then you get to this point B, success. But at this point, your plans and success look very different to what it did when you actually were starting out at point A. And this is just how I felt that God really does things in his own unpredictable, amazing way. And just an example from a more recent time. In 2017, the Lord put on my heart, actually planted in my heart, the seed for apologetics, for evangelism, and eventually the program at the ACCA. And the fact that I'm standing here today is evidence that he has fulfilled that promise. But if I can, I'll just tell you, the fulfillment of that has not been straightforward at all, really. Shortly after I got accepted, I knew I needed to actually prepare for this chapter. So I ended up having to move back into my home with my parents at the age of 30. And that was always a humbling experience, right? And shortly after that, I was like, all right, I need to find a job. I need to start fundraising for this program. And that coincided with the COVID-19 pandemic. And so I'm sitting here going, Lord, I believe you called me to this. You've given me this promise. You've given me this dream, but I'm trying to find a job, and I'm listening to the radio, and they're saying there's 20, 25, 30-plus million people unemployed in the United States who are all looking for jobs, and I did not know how God was going to work it out, but he did. He still is, but he did it in the 11th hour, can I just tell you? And then fast forward to us getting ready to start the first term. I thought I was going to be here in September. But unfortunately, because of COVID, we had to do our first term online. And if I'm honest, that was disappointing. It was. But we did the first term online. It was great. And we then got ready to do the second term. And so me and my classmates all move over here. We're so excited. We're ready to finally be in person. And 3 days after I move here, we go into a tier 5 lockdown. So all of that to say, even though the circumstances have looked drastically different from what I envisioned, I can honestly say that God has continued to be faithful in his promises. And throughout this process, I have learned far more about prayer, about facing disappointment, and about what it really means to trust the Lord through the process. I've learned more in this process than I would have if it had just been a point A to point B or point B linear process. But in saying that, I do believe that it is human for us to ask why. For us to look to God and go, why are you doing it in this way, right? We all tend to go, what's going on? Why this way, Lord? But you see, for Israel, they had been waiting at this point for centuries for the Messiah. And by the time we get to Luke chapter 2 and its first century, they were feeling the tightening grip of Roman rule under Caesar Augustus. And they're looking to God going, God, it has been centuries. Where are you? What are you doing? Why are you not answering us? And then we read here the amazing news that God finally does answer them. He does send the Messiah, but he sends them a baby. And this is truly puzzling. It's puzzling for us, but it's also so puzzling for them. Can you imagine how Simeon must have felt in seeing a baby as the answer? But when we look at that passage in Hebrews 2, we actually get to see why God did it in this way. And just verses 14 and 15 again, it said, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Often the path or the fulfillment that we desire is not really what we need. Unfortunately, sometimes our solutions are just superficial. They are human solutions. But God, in his sovereignty, he knew that in order to truly fulfill his promise to Israel, he knew that in order to really bring redemption to the world, that he needed to enter into our confinements of time and space, that he actually needed to be born into our world of flesh and blood. And it was only through this way that he could actually break the power of sin and death and bring us true, lasting freedom. And as Simeon holds this baby, there's no way that he could have possibly understood why God was doing it in this way, which is why I find his response the most challenging part about this passage, and his response to God's fulfillment of the promise. Instead of looking at God and going, seriously, this is what you have in mind? Like, you're sending us a baby? This is it? No, we read that he chooses to praise God for his faithfulness. And he says, sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and to the glory of your people Israel. I know that it's easy for us to look at a passage like this, and as Christians, for us to say, oh, this passage is telling us that, you know, we need to praise God in the midst of difficult times, right? But if we are honest, we all know that this is incredibly challenging when we are going through real life situations. I mean, in just the last year alone, most of us here, myself included, we have either lost jobs, we've lost businesses, we've had relationship breakdowns, relationship hardships, we've gone through loneliness and depression. There is a myriad of examples. And I can't even imagine the depths of what some of you have been through throughout the years. But as we observe this passage, I ask myself, and I ask all of you here today, in the midst of life's hardships, but also even in the good times, are we willing to humble ourselves like Simeon and to look to Jesus? Are we willing to recognize that while Jesus sometimes defies a picture of what we want, that he is in fact everything that we need? He is the light for revelation for every one of us, and whoever follows him will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Amen? In closing, I want to remind us that our truth is this, that through Jesus Christ, all the promises of God have been and will be fulfilled. Therefore, we can live from a place of praise. And I'm not talking about a fake praise or a forced praise. No, because if we choose to look at the finished work of the cross, and we choose to see what Jesus really did for us and really internalize what that means, we don't have any other option but to praise God. So as we continue to navigate life and the tensions of the now and the not yet, what a blessing it is to know that God fulfilled his incredible promise of salvation through Jesus Christ. And if we can trust him to fulfill the promise of our salvation, how much more can we trust him in being faithful to his promises to us in every season of our life? Let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your faithfulness. Father, we thank you that through Jesus Christ, all of your promises have been and are being fulfilled. And because of that, Lord, we can live in a place of praise, even when it is hard. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would continue to remind us of this truth throughout this week, and that you would help us to continually look to Jesus, the light for revelation. And that as we do, Lord, that we would also let this light in us, the light of Christ in us, shine out to those around us, Lord, those who are desperately looking for hope in this time, Father. We worship you, Lord, and we thank you for the beautiful truth in your word, God. You are so good to us. Amen.